Well, hey there, and welcome to part one in this special Own Your English Pronunciation mini training. I am so thrilled to have you here. By participating in this training, you're showing yourself that you're serious about making some real improvements in your English pronunciation. You're done with feeling anxious that the way you speak is holding you back from dominating your personal and professional goals. You're ready to take action. You're ready to own your English. So let's do this. We begin today with the secret to sounding more natural in your spoken English. It's simple, really. The secret to sounding more natural is to understand and apply the rhythm of the language. English rhythm is based on contrast between what is stressed and emphasized and what isn't. Some sounds and words are more prominent and noticeable, while other sounds and words are quicker and a little quieter. This is different from the rhythm of your native language, where sounds and words are more equal and steady. Or maybe some sounds and words are emphasized, but the patterns are different than English. When you learn a new language, past the golden years of like birth to five, where you soak up language like a sponge, when you learn a new language past these years, the tendency is to apply the sounds and rhythms of your first language to your new language. And as a result, your English rhythm is off and it doesn't sound natural. So if your goal is to sound more natural, you have to learn to hear the patterns of English rhythm so you can imitate these patterns in your own speech. You can't refine the way you speak a language until you change the way you hear that language. And that's why the foundation of successful pronunciation training is all about ear training. This is always where I begin with my students. So today we're going to get started by training your ears to listen differently on two different levels. First, listening for the rhythm in words, and second, listening for the rhythm in phrases and sentences. So let's start with words. For example, let's take the word easy. Easy. Now there's two distinct parts to this word, easy, or two syllables, easy. You can clap them out or tap them out, easy. But notice that one syllable is more prominent than the other. It sticks out. It's more noticeable. Easy. Do you hear that? That first syllable is longer. The E as in green sound is more noticeable. Easy, easy. In contrast, the second syllable is quicker. It's more flat. It has the same vowel sound, but it's not getting any special attention. Z, Z. Easy, easy. That first syllable, that's our primary stressed syllable. And we want to give that syllable a little extra attention. You'll see me do this with my hand. This is like a light bulb slowly brightening and dimming back down as I stretch that vowel sound in the first syllable and let the second syllable be quicker. Easy. Easy. Do you hear the contrast there? All right, let's try another one. Let's try the word instead. Instead. Again, two syllables, instead. And our emphasis is on the second syllable this time. The E as in red vowel sound is a little longer. It's stretched. It's getting the light bulb treatment. Instead, instead. In contrast, that first syllable and the I as in silver vowel sound is quicker. It's more flat, not getting any special attention. Instead, instead. Now, if I switch the stress and I emphasize that first syllable and I say instead, instead, suddenly the word becomes unrecognizable. Here's a fact. Most misunderstandings in English conversations involving non-native speakers result from word stress errors, not mispronounced sounds. So any English word with more than one syllable will always have a syllable that stands out, that's emphasized or stressed above the rest. This is the primary stressed syllable. And you can tell which syllable is the primary stressed syllable by listening for the vowel sound at its core. That vowel sound is going to be more prominent and noticeable because it's going to be stretched. It's going to be a little longer than the other sounds in the word. Let's take another example. Let's try the word Amazon. Amazon. We have three syllables here. Amazon. Do you hear? Where's the stress? That's right. The stress is in the first syllable and the a as in black sound. Amazon. Our third syllable is unstressed. It's a little quicker. It's more flat. Amazon. Now our second syllable, this one's super quick. This is called a reduced syllable. When a syllable is reduced, it's super quick and the vowel sound becomes a schwa. A schwa is a very neutral vowel sound. It sounds like And any vowel letter in the English alphabet can become the schwa sound. You want to start to listen for it. Again, it sounds like Amma. And if you're looking in the dictionary, you'll see the upside down E symbol to represent this sound. These reduced syllables create even more contrast within a word between what's emphasized and what isn't. Amazon. Amazon. Interesting, right? Let's try another word. Academic. Academic. We have four syllables here. Academic. Where's the stress? Where's our primary stressed syllable? Academic. Do you hear it there on that third syllable? That eh as in red vowel sound. I'm holding that sound. I'm giving it the light bulb treatment. Academic. Academic. Now our first and our final syllables, these are unstressed syllables. You might sometimes hear them called secondary stressed syllables. I don't want you worrying about that. You just need to listen for that primary stressed syllable, unstressed and reduced syllables. Academic. Our first and third syllables, those are unstressed. The vowel sound retains its sound. It doesn't become schwa, but it's quicker. It's more flat. And then our second syllable, do you hear it? Academic. That's a reduced syllable. That's a schwa. Academic. So how do you know which syllable should be stressed? Unfortunately, there's no 100% works every time rule here. And that's why you have to train your ears to hear the stress so you can imitate it in your own speech. But there are a few helpful patterns you can look for. For example, when looking at a two-syllable word, typically, if the word is a noun, a person, place, or thing, you're going to emphasize the first syllable. Table, apple, student. Typically, if a two-syllable word is a verb, an action word, you're going to emphasize that second syllable. Enjoy. Behave, return. You can also look for some common suffixes or word endings that impact stress in a predictable way. With these four suffixes, the stress is always going to fall right before the word ending. So for example, complicate, complicate. With emphasis on that first syllable, if we add the T-I-O-N ending, it becomes complication. Complication. and our stress shifts to that syllable right before our word ending. Same thing with the word abbreviate. Abbreviate, second syllable stress in this word, but it shifts abbreviation. Abbreviation to that syllable right before the word ending when we add the T-I-O-N. The word music, music becomes musician, musician when we add the I-A-N suffix. Same thing with electric. Electric becomes electrician. Electrician. Again, that stress is shifting to the syllable right before the suffix or the I-A-N ending. Economy. Economy becomes economic. Economic when I add that I-C word ending. Same thing with romance. Romance, first syllable stress, becomes romantic, romantic. And the I-A-L suffix, the word finance, finance becomes financial, financial. Benefit, benefit becomes beneficial, beneficial. So look for these common word endings. And when you're just not sure, you can always look in your dictionary for help in figuring out where that primary stress syllable is. So here I'm looking in my Cambridge dictionary at the word confusion. Confusion. You can see we've got three syllables here, but right before that second syllable, you're going to see a little mark here. It looks kind of like an apostrophe. This is called a stress mark. And this comes right before the syllable that's going to be emphasized. This shows us that the second syllable is where the primary stress is in this word, confusion. So you want to train your ears to really start listening for these stressed syllables and making sure that you're fully pronouncing these syllables with the correct stretched vowel sound. While in contrast, letting other unstressed and reduced syllables be quicker and quieter. With just this little insight alone, you're going to start hearing English in a whole new way. But let's take it one level higher, because you're going to hear this same pattern in English sentences. Certain words are going to stand out. They're going to receive more emphasis or stress, while others are going to be a little quicker and a little quieter. For example, let's take this sentence. Which words stand out to you? There was a ton of traffic. There was a ton of traffic. Which words do you hear most easily? Which words are most prominent? The words ton and traffic, right? Those are the most prominent and easiest to hear. These words are called content words. Content words are nouns, verbs, adjectives, adverbs. These are the words that bring meaning to the sentence, and these words are typically emphasized the most. In contrast, the words there, was, and of, these words are quicker. They're unstressed. These are called function words. Function words are the little words that make a sentence sound pretty, that make it grammatically correct. These are your articles, prepositions, pronouns, conjunctions. And these words typically don't receive emphasis in a sentence. Let's try another sentence. Which words stick out? He was late for the meeting. He was late for the meeting. The words late and meeting, right? Those are the words your ears pick up most easily. These are our content words. He was late for the meeting. Our function words, he, was, for, the, These are much quicker. These are unstressed. He was late for the meeting. If you listen closely, the words for and the are super quick for the. These words are reduced. Again, creating more contrast within the sentence between what is emphasized and isn't. The word for becoming for the. He was late for the meeting. There was a ton of traffic, so he was late for the meeting. Do you hear that contrast? Let's try another one. The gym was closed. Which words do you hear most prominently? The gym was closed. Gym and closed, right? These are our content words. The gym was closed. The and was are much quicker. She went for a run. She went for a run. Which words are most prominent in that sentence? She went for a run. Yeah, our content words, went and run. She, much quicker. For, reducing, becoming for a. She went for a run. She went for a run. The gym was closed, so she went for a run. Interesting, right? So I want you to start listening closer to English. Listen for these patterns, this contrast between what is stressed and unstressed. And I want you to practice imitating it. Listen, being extra mindful to the most prominent sounds and words, then repeat, aiming to match exactly what you hear. You can do this while you're watching TV, listening to a podcast, or an audiobook. Heck, you can do it while you're eavesdropping on someone's conversation while you're in line at the grocery store. I want those ears to start training. I also want you to start a personal words list. This should include any important professional vocabulary that you use on a regular basis, really any word that has more than one syllable, because you want to be checking that and making sure that you're emphasizing the right syllable and the right vowel sound. You also want to include any words or phrases that seem to cause communication confusion. Keep this list on your phone. Use your dictionary to check the stress and practice these words each day. So in this lesson, you've learned that the secret to sounding more natural in English is to begin by recognizing and applying the rhythm of the language. Your ears are now aware of how certain syllables and words stand out, while other sounds and words, in contrast, are quicker and quieter. And this contrast is what creates the natural rhythm of English. You're going to start hearing the language in a whole new way. And this enlightened listening is the first step to getting from where you are now to where you want to be with your spoken English. Tomorrow, you'll receive part 2 of this training, where you'll learn about achieving clarity in spoken English. I'll share 3 simple tips that you can learn and apply right away to instantly improve your pronunciation. I can't wait to see you there. Till next time.